6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Welcome to the DSI Show. We had meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood. It's for fathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless, so nobody's left out. These are the conversations we want our sons to access as they grow through life into manhood, so no topics are off limits. I'm one of your hosts, D. Johns.
I'm your other host, Jay Black.
How you feeling, my brother?
I'm good. I'm good. Everything's good.
Everything
and
is
I
good.
I say that a lot, but it's really good.
Yeah, man. How your week been?
It's
last
been,
week.
Listen, it was good. First week back on campus.
Okay.
School jumped off by the time this episode airs. We back into the semester.
Okay. Back into the throes.
Yeah. Everything strong. Everything good. Like everything how it's laid out with the class schedule and the professor. So I don't have any complaints.
Okay.
What's your week look like?
Everything been good, man. Imani is over there with you.
Yeah.
She on campus now.
Well,
today she's here because it's the King Day. King and the inauguration, which is that's juxtaposition there. Anyhow. But everything's good, man. She settled in, and kids have been back in school. Well, they had, I guess, their first full week of school last week because they got them corny snow days. Their first week back.
You know, down south, you know.
Yeah.
It don't take much.
Yeah, they got cold days. I guess it's not really snow days. it's cold outside days. Everything been tracking, man. A lot going on with the network.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of interest, a lot more. You'll see a lot more volume. More velocity,
yeah.
Speed. We getting stuff out.
Yeah, pushing.
So this week is the first week we're going to 2 episodes a week, and I know we can support that for the foreseeable future.
Yes, sir.
With this structure and with guests.
Yes, sir. So yes, sir.
We got to get it out there, man. I feel confident in what our contributions are going to be this year, this month, this week, and on today on this episode. But let's get into the getting to us, man. We in classic form. Topic was shared but not discussed.
Correct.
For those that don't know.
Correct.
So today we're talking about These Are My Confessions.
Come on, Usher.
That probably wasn't actually the tune, but you get it. Yeah. These are my confessions. When you caught that, because you ain't even, I'm putting you on the spot, you didn't even respond.
I did.
Didn't even
did.
Respond.
I
we to keep we ain't had nothing.
Not a word. I didn't even acknowledge. Come on with it. Let's do it.
We ain't had nothing. So what was your, what came to mind when you saw it?
What do I want out in public, and how deep do we want to go? That's my initial reaction. I was like, this can go left but viral.
We'll never shoot for viral, but I mean, the story gonna be the story.
Yeah. So I found a middle ground.
Okay.
It's still worthy of listening to, but a middle ground.
Yeah. It's always a plan that you come in with, then the conversation do what it do.
Correct.
So we're gonna see, man. I'm this is the skeleton closet wide open.
Oh,
we deep. We
hey,
deep.
That might pull something out of me.
Statutes of limitations are not an issue. This is not an admission of current guilt at any time, no matter what we say.
Mm-hmm.
If it sounds like it, we lying.
Mm-hmm. And also, let's not forget the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
I better remember to do that.
Yeah.
Because I wanna—I don't know. I want to call some of mine out.
Oh, well listen. I told you.
Let's get to it.
Also, like, share, and subscribe.
Like, share, and subscribe. Top of the show. Early on. We appreciate that. The interest and engagement is growing.
Yeah.
They had a little flub on TikTok. TikTok was shut down for 15 minutes. Well, we back up and running, so I don't, you know, wherever you catch us, you catch us.
You catch us.
And we appreciate you. So with that, because I'm driving.
Yeah.
Because I'm driving, I'm definitely going to throw it to, well, let me frame it. Because how I got there was having that episode with my son. And we always talk about, at some point in our episodes, we always get to, your famous thing is, wish I knew then what I know now.
Yes, sir.
And making sure they understand that. But on the last episode, I believe in the last episode that we shot, definitely with my son, we started talking about how imperfect we were as boys, young men, men today.
Yeah.
And being certain that we're not falsely giving our children a sense of they need to be perfect or they can't come to us if they have an imperfection.
Yes.
So that's the source of it. We're going to get deeper than less than perfect on this episode.
As we should.
Because I got some. And we didn't grow up in the social media area, so there's no proof.
No proof.
No proof. Camera phones didn't come out until I was about 20 some change, and it was grainy. Mm-mm. It wasn't me.
Nothing.
Yeah, it wasn't me. So what's your I thought of a couple different ways to throw it out there in terms of like topics. You got one in this category, you got one in that category. Let's just let it flow. And
who knows where it goes.
Yeah, hopefully this is gonna be one of the lighter episodes.
Yeah, because it's gotta be.
Yeah, we know to get deep. We always laugh at some point in our episodes, but
yeah,
we know to get a little deep, a little introspective. So, my son is 17 years old. Well, let's orient the people. Today, my children are 21, 19, 17, 11, and 10. And the 17-year-old and the 10-year-olds are the boys. The others are girls by default. And my son is starting to have interest in driving. So I started thinking about how my life started to change when I got them keys.
Yeah.
When I got them keys, man, everything made sense. You didn't have no problem with me doing homework or getting good grades in school because I had so much freedom. But I never really came straight home from school once I had them keys. And I'll start with this one, man. Mike Nash. That name wasn't changed. Protect the innocent. and I know he's listening. Me and Mike used to, we had a six period class together at the end of the day. So we had six periods in school. Six period was English. I think it was sixth period. It might have been fifth, but it was one of the last two periods of the day. And I was doing well in the class. And there was some other, because there was other people in the class, but the joke that was on them was I was actually doing my work. I was acing exams and things like that. So when it came time to take the exam, I didn't have to take the exam. Now, my teacher made me show up because of absences, which I'm getting to.
Yeah.
But he was like, you write your name on the exam, you can go. And they were like, oh, what? Like, why are you? Yeah, I was doing my work. Y'all cut up the whole time. I was doing my work for the first 15, 20 minutes that it took. And then I cut up. But we got to a point where we just stopped going to class. And we would catch each other at the end, opposite ends of the hallway. And let's just say the classroom was in the middle. I look at him. He look at me. We throw our hands up.
What we doing?
Like, yeah. If we throw our hands up, we both nod, that means we leave. So we would leave and go to another high school where there were females that we were more interested in. We had some, we were
wording
females that we were interested in at the other school.
There we go.
So we would literally see each other at the end of the hall, like, what's up? I was driving most of the time, and we just hop in the car and go to the other school and be in their parking lot when they got out. Cause they got out earlier than us. The school started going to a block schedule as like one of the test schools.
Yeah.
Before, you know, you had the three periods in the day, then the next day you have periods 4 through 6. We hadn't gone to that yet. So they went to the block schedule. We'd be out there just chilling. And this was probably twice a week.
Oh, schedule.
Probably twice a week.
Y'all on Nate's schedule.
Probably twice a week that we're not that we're not actually in our class at the end of the day that we're supposed to be there. But again, like I said, I was doing my work, and like I said, the teacher made me show up for the exam, but they were all kind of befuddled that when the exam started, I got up and left.
Cakewalk.
Yeah. So I don't know that my son has that in him. Cause he'll text me about everything. Dad, I'm riding over here. Dad, we about to go to the store. Dad, we about to do this.
Until
well, he's a senior now. He only got 3 months. My boy, if you can figure
sometimes
out,
you gotta go out with a bang.
You can figure out 3 months and still graduate. More power to you. But yeah, we were just reckless when it came to school.
Yeah.
And yeah. So I'm gonna start light right there.
I'm gonna
start.
No, light. Skip a class. Watch this. Down with the people's elbow and everything. I was a toxic dater.
Do tell.
And where that comes from is I'm not, again, we taking this lighthearted, but we're not
glorifying.
We're not saying do this or saying this the way to be or the way to go. But talking to my son about dating, and you know what our perspectives on being a simp or not, or Trikolavokov, or you tricking, or you know, a lot of those words.
Trikolavokov.
Yeah. All that break bread, spin bread,
yeah,
you know, for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Too early, too soon, but that's another episode. When I was dating, and this only came out to me, I haven't really gone into detail with my son about it yet. My son's 18.
Until
then. And he's you know, he dates. He's been on a few dates.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a senior in high school, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm trying to really get that boy ready for college, because you know how that go.
Yeah.
You go in college on the wrong note, it'll ruin the rest of your life. I promise you. Relationship-wise, yeah. Let's say that. So
your target.
As I look back when I was in the dating world,
yeah,
you know, and I'm talking about the whole time. Like, this didn't even go through phases. But because of my emotional maturity now, helps me look back and realize I was toxic.
A little bit.
Like, I'm so convinced that what I said made so much sense. Anything you say other than let's go with it, you're not for me.
So who are you talking
you're
to?
You're not for me.
Who are you talking to?
I absolutely was that guy that we ran our course. It didn't pan out in the end.
Yeah.
We go our separate ways amicably. You know, I don't have any bad breakups except for my first marriage, however, but outside of that, I don't have any bad breakups.
Were you a ghoster, or y'all actually talked it out?
Listen, this ain't it. It's not working. And I it was received as the audacity. Like, how do you bring that to a person and we bumping heads over something you said or didn't agree with? That's fine. So this don't work for us.
Either way.
This don't work for us.
Yeah.
Because you're not going along to get along. So this don't work for us. So with that broken mentality, I doubled down on it and had the nerve months later, or however long. We're going to see what she got going on again.
Spin a block.
Yeah. We're going to go tap back in. Make sure you see if you still not good for me.
Yeah.
Or should we revisit this thing? And looking back, and even now, I talk to young men about not being that guy. I talk to young women about not receiving that guy or being that lady. So looking at it, I don't want to say I regret it doing it, because I don't live in regret or with regrets.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it did ultimately keep some people out of my lives out of my life that should not have been. If I have to get a positive out of that negative, but please learn from my mistakes, son. Don't play with people like that, because ultimately that's what you're doing. You're playing with somebody's emotions at that point. Because what if that person really, really locked in?
Yeah,
and they really trying to uphold their self worth and standards, and just because it doesn't align with the foolery that you own, because you could possibly be on some foolery. And now you so mad that this person don't want to play the foolish games that you walk away. Ah, how dare you? Ah, this, you're just not who God sent for me. God.
When he get
did
into
you hear
of
what
this?
We what yeah. we bumping heads about?
Yeah.
So just that's something. And again, I laugh at a lot of things that some people possibly say, oh, why you laugh? We're not making jokes about moving wrong or missteps.
Hmm.
But it's a better way to do it.
Yeah, in hindsight, kind of. Anyway, yeah. It's a light episode. So yeah. You start, it's kind of light.
Yeah.
I didn't get womanized out of that. I just got.
There you go.
You got tired.
Come on.
You was tired.
On, somebody.
And salute to you for having conversations because I was.
You ghost.
Who?
Who? Out.
When do we?
Why are we talking about
it? We met where?
Oh.
What?
Oh, your count reset every
bad.
Time.
It's bad. No, it was bad.
Okay.
It was bad. I think this one isn't funny, but it was less serious than me and weed. I had a cousin that was possibly still is pro weed.
Okay.
Pro weed. I was never a smoker in the sense of I'm going to buy it, but I was the driver. I always had transportation. So if we're going to get it, yeah, we're going to get anywhere, we're going to get anything. Like that's what I'm contributing to.
Yeah.
The function, to the event, to the night. That's what I'm contributing to the memories that we're creating right now is I'm transportation.
Yeah.
And it wasn't often that, you know, I was asking for gas money. But we would be so. I wonder if my parents knew. That's what I started thinking later because I wasn't one of those kids that could come in whenever they wanted to.
Yeah.
And sometimes on some nights they would still be awake and alert when I came in. But I would, you know, I would try to take all precautions of. I told a story before about how my curfew got to 2:30. My sister she's still mad about that because she was older than me. Her curfew wasn't that. But what I didn't talk about is oftentimes the last 30 to 45 minutes of that was me riding around with all the windows down, trying to air that thing out. Trying my best to air that thing out. And mind you, my dad wasn't a person that was your car is your car,
mm-mm.
And I'm going to respect it.
Mm-mm.
Everything in that house was his.
What?
His name was on it. I ain't registered nothing. I ain't had no insurance
to
in my name. And that's where it makes sense now. And that's why I try to advise my children. I've already made all the mistakes, but spending 45 minutes riding around the city with all the windows down, no matter what the temperature was outside, and you coming home parking, sneaking inside. And the sneaking inside wasn't necessarily because I broke curfew. I just didn't want nobody. My dad was good to be like, come here.
Yeah.
If something went right.
Yeah.
Or if I did break curfew, he wasn't necessarily going to have it out at that moment.
But let me put my eyes on you.
But he'd be like, put the keys on my dresser. He hit me with that a few times. And when he say, put the keys on my dresser, you don't actually ask for when you can have them back. He that's his property. He said, put it on his dresser.
Yeah.
But there were times where I knew, at least my dad had for sure been in the car because it was moved or something had changed or things like that. I remember one time coming home after spending the night with somebody at somebody's house, which was the truth. The problem was it was multiple cars that we went out. We went to Virginia Beach. That's like 30, 45 minutes from where I live. That's a tourist destination. We probably took it for granted living there, but it was like a spot.
Right.
So we go to the Virginia Beach, and of course that was weed that night as well.
Yeah.
We all come back. I'm driving. I think I'm driving solo. I had to be driving solo. Or maybe I dropped somebody off. But the person whose house we were staying at, he didn't come home. Him, my other partner, and some girls, they went to IHOP. Ain't nobody say nothing to me. So me, I'm sitting in front of his house in the car outside because I'm not going to just walk in his house at 3 a.m.
No.
Without him.
No.
So now I'm sitting in the car until I can't take it till about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I go home, which is already weird. Like, why am I coming home at 6 a.m. if I stay at somebody else's house? I walk in the garage. My dad is fixing a lawnmower.
At 6 in the morning.
Early o'clock. At early o'clock. And it was one of those days where I had a garage door opener. So I hit the garage going in and he's on the other side. Walk in and my life stopped. And what he said to me was, he said, long night. I thought we was having an adult moment. I thought we were sharing something.
Yeah. You bit.
Yeah. I said, yeah. Looked like you're high. Said nothing else. I mean, said nothing else ever again in my life about it. But you talk about somebody going upstairs in their room and not coming out for dinner, not coming out for nothing at all that day. I slept until I just stayed in my room that day because I knew I was going to walk out and catch a left hook or something. But yeah.
Yeah.
Me and weed decision making won't agree. They never led anything crazy. And that's not an excuse for anybody to be on that now.
Yeah.
And I know something like we're probably in a generation where, like I was just saying, me represent my cousin who shall remain nameless, at least for now. Like, still partakes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we both had kids the same age. And it's like, what is that conversation
right,
like?
Right, right, right.
That like, conversation like? So
different perspectives, I guarantee.
Yeah. And I got five kids and we've run into it with one of the children who shall remain nameless, at least at this point, but my concern then versus now, not just that it impairs you, but now I don't know what's in it.
Yeah.
And none of my children are street savvy enough to even ask, what's this?
Right, right, right.
Oh, this is that killer crop.
Right.
Killer crop, dead down. Killer crop, get your dead down now. Smoke.
Yeah.
Ooh, let me try it. So, it's like, again, that's to each his own.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not part of my lifestyle.
Right.
Any longer, but that's part of the backdrop of why I had a conversation that I do with my kids of like, we've already made the mistakes. I can tell you.
Already. I can give you the report, the rundown, the whole nine.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Me, my next one would be, moving off campus in college ruined my college career, if you will. It takes me in my adult years to look back and really acknowledge and realize that some of the best years of my life, but for the wrong reason.
By standards of then.
Yeah. Yeah. So my college background is out of high school, I went into the military and got back from basic and AIT too late to jump into school that fall. So my whole class, all my partners, everybody went to school the fall. I went down there and kicked it, you know, but I wasn't in school until the spring. So that spring I move in on campus, absolutely hated my dorm at the time. I was like, nah, we're not doing this. So most of the nights I stayed the night elsewhere, like in other locations, instead of my own dorm room, because I absolutely hated it. So, and also at Southern University, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, slaughtered Grambling for the Bayou Classic this year. But without going too deep into the facts of that, during games or functions or holidays, you had to vacate. Like you had to get out. Like you couldn't lay up in the dorms while a game or a function was going on. Everybody out. It was a safety measure is how they explained it to us. There's too many outsiders and visitors on campus. And they really wanted to instill that culture in you, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you're given the option to not go, then you don't really get out and experience and see this is what you want to be doing anyway. So I applaud it on the back end. So now they clear the dorms. You're either going to go to the game or you're going to stand outside at the tailgate. But you're not going to be in those dorms, right? So holidays, same thing. You got to get out. I don't know if you're going home or not, or you better know somebody locally, but you're not going to stay in this dorm during a holiday. Transition from semester to semester, same thing. So because of that, this too inconvenient. I'm living too much on somebody else's schedule. I stayed on campus one semester, had a 4.0 GPA, jumped down, moved off campus, crashed out immediately because that first semester off campus, I probably dropped down to like a 3.5, 3.8 or something like that. Picking and choosing when to go to class. Well, now, because I'm off campus, my social life, it shoots through the ceiling. So now, our whole hometown, Shreveport, everybody down there, we're all off campus now. Like, that's a thing. So now we're, by the time we finally get up and drive to campus to go to class, the way Southern is made, you drive down the strip, as we call it, the main strip, dead center of the campus. Mm. We drive down the strip, and if by the time you made it to the end of the strip where everybody hangs out at, that's where everybody is. So you'll pull up and park, and now you walk up on a conversation about what y'all about to do, what you about to do.
Yeah.
I came up here to go to class. No, we're not doing that. We load up 5-6 carloads of people, and we leave right back off campus in a caravan to go party or kick it or whatever the case is. So I say that to say, a lot of times, let's say now one of my kids, they'll come to me and say, if they living on campus, and they're like, I'm ready to move off campus. We're about to have an in-depth conversation about that.
Yeah.
Why? What are you doing? What's your motivation? Why are you trying to move off campus? What you doing? Like, what are you going to do when you get off campus? What's your plan?
Yeah.
You're going to work? You think you're going to work? You think you're not working? You're unnecessary gas or commute or like, what you doing? Like, make it make sense. Sell it to me. Because if you're just like, I'm tired of living on campus, that's not it. We're not doing that. I know what that looks like. And I'm not saying my kids are just like me. I was loose. I was loose and wild when I was their ages. I'm watching my baby boy, though. He's 6. I'm watching that 6-year-old.
Okay.
I think I've been reincarnated and I'm still here.
Oh boy.
So I'm watching that fella. But the others, I'm cool. I think my 18-year-old a party rat, watching him, but not like me.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
So mild-mannered, though.
That's what surprised me. I said, boy, you snuck me.
As I was saying it, it
speaking of, sidebar, I don't care. I don't care. Holidays. Just to give you an example of what I'm up against, people. And I just want to get this out. I'm venting. New Year's Eve. Right now. This going 24 into 25. My 18-year-old says to me and my wife, hey, they got this party across town. Oak Cliff. And me and my partner want to slide over there. You and your partner want to slide to Oak Cliff, Texas.
Do either of them understand Oak Cliff?
I didn't say a word. I just looked at his mom. You with this? Because you know me, I'm Mr. No, don't do it.
Yeah.
You with this? You good? She was like, let him roll. Bet. Hey, do your thing, dog. Run it. He kind of looked at me like, it's my birthday. I don't care. Why not? Call me. She was like, hey, only stipulation, you got to FaceTime us at the new year so we can holler at you. Bet. He does that. So we had at the Texas Live party, and she got that Life 360 popping. And she's like, y'all excuse me for a minute. My son back in our neighborhood. So she step away and she go call him. She come back and she says, you're not going to believe this about your son. What we got? What are you doing? He was at the party with his homeboy. He drove. Kind of like you. He's the logistics coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
He drove his partner to the party in Oak Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
His partner hit him with the, I'm ready to go. I got to get to the house. My son drive his homeboy all the way from Oak Cliff, all the way back to our neighborhood because he lives in our neighborhood. Drop his partner off. Shoot back to the party. My boy drove all the way back to Oak Cliff to get him some smoke. Hey, what you do? Next day, I was like, hey, why did you do that? He was like, party wasn't over. You one of them.
One of them.
You got to shut the party down.
Yeah.
He was like, party wasn't over. And my partner had to go home. I took him home. Hey, man, listen. That's not how that go, bro.
At all.
He was like, well, by the time I got back, you know, it was still good. Hey, but why did you stay till it was over? He was like, I'm just waiting on some people to clear out. And then I'm going to get on out of here and head to the house. Okay, little party rat.
Inching his way in.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, for me, the rule with me was stay with the keys.
That's it.
Stay with the keys.
That's it. When I'm ready, we ready. And don't go out with me no more if you got to leave before me.
Yeah, and if you leave and let me know.
Please.
Otherwise, we leave when I'm leaving.
That's it.
That's how that go.
Yeah.
Man, so college for me, I was not doing well on campus. My only stint on campus was first semester, and I had a 0.14 or something GPA. And I mentioned that story a few times. Went into detail early in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But ended up leaving school, getting a job, getting a real job, and realized I didn't like that. So I had to keep the job and then go back to school. So I'm not living the life that I could have been living on campus with the parties and all, and having fun if I just did the right thing. Because, I'm not so naive to think that my kids won't get an experience.
Yeah.
Now, Imani, she ain't for it. At least right now.
Yeah, yeah.
She's trying to be a doctor, and that's all that matters to her. Yeah. She don't care about homecoming. She don't care about none of that. But it was a pull on me because some of the guys that I met, like my suite mates, because we mm-hmm. had two rooms that shared a bathroom, like they still my people to this day. So I found myself running over there on the weekends, trying to party, trying to catch all the activities. There's one particular party. I believe it was a fight party. And my boy, people know who he is. He was the life of the party.
Yeah.
Of at ODU. If something's gonna get cracking, he was gonna get a cracking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like let's make it happen for Richmond. And they had moved to campus apartments. Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia, is a PWI with very loose rules, and it's kind of in the city.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like a gated campus where if you come in, everything inside the gate is campus and everything outside is the city. It was shared the location with other public, you know, businesses and things like that were going on in the city. So it wasn't closed off. They had a fight party. And I go over there, hey, Dijon's in here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Cause I'm still cool with everybody. And everybody's like, yo, we haven't seen you. So it was up.
Right.
I get in there. And again, these are confessions. These are not celebrations. At the party, you're going to have a drink. There's going to be a drink available to have at the party. So what do? I take the initiative to prepare the drink. So I don't know if you're familiar with the term witch's brew.
Yes.
It's just whatever, what y'all get, yeah. Whatever you got is
going
dumped.
In.
Yeah, it's dumped in some fruit juice and some fruit or whatever you got. Some
stress
sodas. Boy. Had it popping. Everybody was celebrating the drink. The drink, it was hitting. It was because one thing about me and alcohol, I didn't like it at first. And I don't know if many people do.
Right.
But it like was downright nasty.
Yes.
This one was fantastic.
Oh, that's the problem.
And I can't tell you what was in there. Whatever I saw was in there. And it was like, yeah, you got it up. So not only am I to celebrate, I'm the heralded brewmaster at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to show everybody how to take it. Go, 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 go.
Don't do it.
Everything cool, and I feel myself leaving my body. And if anybody's been there, you kind of know where it's like, you know it's going bad, and there's nothing you can do about it. So you try to get somewhere and be still. or get somewhere where you can throw up or whatever your methodology is. And again, this is not a celebration, people. And mom, you probably need to stop listening at this point. If you're still listening. But I decide that the smarter thing for me to do would just be to go back home. So mind you, I'm leaving my body.
Yeah.
Figuratively, I'm not saying any spiritual stuff like that, but I'm at that place where the best thing for me to do would probably be to lay down in the bathtub. I said, I'm going home. I live 30 to 40 minutes away from school at this time. Highway, bridge, tunnel to get to my house. Bro, I left the party and I promise you, this is the danger. So this is not the funny. There's nothing funny about this. I woke up coming out of the tunnel.
Wow.
That's from the apartment to me having another memory.
Wow.
I woke up coming
out of the tunnel.
Other side of the tunnel, which was about 5 or 6 miles from my house. After that, can't really explain much. Like, I remember coming to. The next morning, I come outside. My car is parked in the grass, like by the tree. In front of my, because I was renting a house at the time. It was a small old house, big lot. So it was an old neighborhood. Car, you see, he making me do it. But the car was parked in the grass at the tree.
I don't want to laugh.
And we got sufficient driveway. Very sufficient driveway.
Oh yeah.
So it wasn't like when you come to my house, sometimes you park in the grass.
Yeah.
No, I was riding lawnmower in the grass park. And I came outside when I finally came to, and I was like, thank God. And I wish I could say that was a turning point where it never happened again. It never happened again to that extent, which doesn't make it right, but I didn't get the lesson immediately. And I made the reference to learning tough lessons to share with your kids, how I got hit by a drunk driver 3 times. And if I didn't have that conversation with my kids, I'd be reckless. I was potentially on the other side of being the offender.
Yes.
And doing somebody great danger, let alone myself. And that was just a time, like you said, loose.
Yes.
Loose. And it was, I can't even say it was like peer pressure. It was, I don't even know how to explain it.
Right.
But I'm making this poison, then drinking the poison at a steady alarming rate and wake up coming out the tunnel. God is the greatest.
Think you great,
but, and that's not a joke.
Listen, and again, we're not saying these are the choices to make. Please, please learn from my mistakes. Please. Because I learned the hard way about mixing alcohol and motorcycles.
Oof.
And it was weird. I've only had, I ride bikes for my pastime. You know that, but perhaps the audience doesn't. But Dallas, like when I first moved to Dallas back in 2012, like that's what we did. Me, my cousins, that's what we did. I got a lot of cousins and friends here that I ride with. And one night we just out all riding. So this is why I talk. This is another example of, I'm always talking to my sons about choose your friends wisely. Yeah. And that's not to say my cousins aren't good friends. There was one guy in the mix that, in my opinion, made a bad decision, a poor decision. But you have to be mindful of who you surround yourself with, because you'll think they have the best intentions for you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll think nothing bad will happen. This guy won't let anything happen. And it's not necessarily that he wants anything to happen to you, but if he's a careless person or has a careless spirit, that affects everybody in the group. Because if we're all here together, then something happens, we're all affected. Or I'm not your friend. You know what I mean? Like, I can't idly stand by and watch your demise. I'm not made like that. We friends. Like, we going down, whatever. So we out riding one night, drinking. Not proud of that, but every time that's extreme, but it's probably true. possibly every time I've been on the motorcycle, it was drinking was involved.
At some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I convinced myself that it loosens me up. It takes the edge off. Well, the problem with taking the edge off on a motorcycle is you start to erase the boundaries. They kind of no longer exist. You start to buy into the Superman syndrome. You're invincible. You're indestructible. I know the ins and outs of this bike. I know its breaking point to where I'm going to toe the line. I'm going to push this bike right to the breaking point. But I know how to control it and hold it there. It's an ego thing, if nothing else. Like, if you watch people on bikes, more often than not, especially if they're on cross rockets, they lose. They revving the engine and just they wide open, man. Wheelies and burnouts. It's because that power, if I have to make sense of it, that power, you're in complete control in your mind of that power, all this power. I can unleash it whenever I say so. So that becomes my coping mechanism now. So anytime I need a release, I jump on my bike, take off, wild out for a little bit, get all of the whatever out, come back, park it, back to reality. Almost like a switch. Well, one night we're riding down 35 going into, I guess, the central area of Dallas where Beamers used to be, if anybody back in those days know Dallas, 2012. So we're flying down the interstate. I didn't know the exit that we're taking is coming up. So now everybody back off except this one guy. So now I'm running and the guy, he goes for the exit in front of me. So now I have two options to either T-bone this guy on a motorcycle. We're both on bikes. I can either T-bone him or I could take this exit with him. Wide open. I take the exit. So as I'm going down the exit, I'm trying to break the bike down. I'm braking and downshifting every time my back tire lock up. I release it so it can start back rolling. I'm doing everything, but it's too short. I'm going too fast for how short this exit is. So the exit takes a hard right turn. Well, I keep straight and flip, apparently. I don't know because I blacked out.
Ooh.
Like when I hit that curb, it was a big flash. And when I'm awake again, I'm walking around with my helmet on barefoot with my cousin tapping me on the shoulder, talking to me, asking me, man, you all right? You all right? You all right? So I'm looking at him like, what are you talking about? I'm like, get off me. My feet hurting real bad, but I'm walking. I had on shoes, but I kid you not, I'm now barefoot and I have on shorts. I have on shorts, a chest plate, and a helmet. So I flipped in the grass though. Thank God. I feel like that's what saved my life.
Yeah.
Because I look over probably 10, 15 yards away. My bike is upside down with the wheels spinning if you're working on a bicycle, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Snap both handlebars. Everything's broken. It's snapped up. So I'm walking around, man. My feet are swollen, man, like two balloons. But I'm walking around. They're like, man, hey. I'm not there. So they call another one of our cousins. He go get the truck, come pick me and the bike up. They pick me up and throw me in the back seat. I can't walk now. So they take me to my cousin's crib and we go inside and they lay me on the couch at my cousin's crib. You got to go to the hospital. I'm not going to the hospital. So my wife now, which we weren't together then, she criticizes me to this day. She was like, you got to be kidding me about, I never went to the hospital. I laid on my cousin's couch and some women that we knew kind of came over, took care of me, bandaged me up, cleaned me up, kept me good for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks. There's no telling how many bones or broken bones and what have, I don't know. I never went to the hospital. I had pelvic pains and my feet. I couldn't walk. I laid on my cousin's couch for 2 weeks, man. And I'm eternally grateful that my cousins and family and support system were there at the time. But that's just another example of one of the worst mistakes I ever made in my life. One, driving and moving that way on that motorcycle that night. And two, once you make the mistake, to make a compound mistake on top of a mistake, you double down on the ignorance. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's why I try to say, listen, Once you do something or make a mistake, put the shovel down. Just stop digging.
Stop digging.
Let's start fixing. Let's start working. Let's start making the responsible side of the decision, if you will, to fix it. And now I have lifelong ailments with my ankles and feet. I'm better now, but I'm certain there's damage that can't be reversed.
Yeah. Wow. That the first time hearing that. When I was hit by a drunk driver, my car was totaled and the car buckled around me. My door was the only door that opened. Everything else got a jam.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so angry in real time as the guy hit me and the car was spinning. Like I saw it coming. I'm at a stoplight and you know, you look up like, man, that car is not slowing down. So I braced and he hit me and my car spun around. And the whole time it was spinning, I mentioned this before, I was so angry. I was ready to fight because I got hit by a drunk driver before who fled.
Yeah.
Who just ran. So I was ready to do something crazy to this guy, but he ended up running into an apartment building. I don't know how bad he was hurt. I did see him in court and he only got like weekend time, which was a whole nother thing.
Man.
He didn't look like us, but, and this was 99,
yes.
1999. But where I was going with it is I didn't want to go to the hospital either. My mom came out there, and that's another thing that I understand now is when you're a parent and your phone rings after a certain time,
ooh,
there's no good feeling that you have.
Terror.
It's typically not a message celebrating anything. I couldn't wait to tell you I became a millionaire. it's typically not that call at
it's
all.
Not.
So this was probably 2 a.m. and my parents, they weren't hanging out nowhere. So I hit them and she came up there and she was like, you need to go to the hospital. I didn't want to go. I just wanted to go home. I was so upset. She took me to the emergency room, which was good because it helped out with my, like demonstrating the issues for insurance purposes. But even then I was so stupid and so fast and so reckless that I didn't want to deal with the process. His insurance company offered me like $2,800. I mean, that's coming to me.
Right, right.
All $2,800?
Run it.
Send it over, my boy. I can have it by Tuesday. It'd be gone by Thursday.
Yeah.
But I took it, but I never went to therapy or anything like that. And I know for a fact, like, back problems that I've had throughout my life, I believe that's the root cause. And I've been hit a couple times in cars and it, like from the rear.
Yeah.
So I, you know, later in life, those things show up where, you know, we could have been a little bit more responsible, a little less superhero-ish, and done the smart thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's the takeaway of all of this is be smart. Like, we understand that you're gonna make decisions in life, and as my son hears this, and you know he's heard part of these stories before, as my children hear it, or whoever's listening to it, don't be so hell bent on showing yourself as perfect to your children.
Right. Right.
And lead and allow them to go down a path of similar ignorance. And y'all have some common traumas to celebrate. I stay harping on that. I don't want to celebrate common traumas with any of my children.
Right.
If you go make a new mistake, we both learn from that.
Yes.
And I don't want your mistake to be dire. But take this information in again as we laugh through some of it. Some of it was legitimately funny. Like in looking back and there was some element of naivete or innocence when you're doing certain things, but we get to a point that you know better and choose not to do better, and you just kind of leave it all to rest. That's what every time, and I got living loose from you, like you loose with it.
Yeah.
I guess that's a New Orleans, not New Orleans, Louisiana,
nope, don't
thing,
do that.
Louisiana thing, whatever.
Don't do that. Shreveport.
Shreveport.
Be as specific as New Orleans people are.
Shreveport.
That Shreveport. It's a Shreveport thing.
When I think about living loose, it's the, eh, so what? It's the shoulder shrug.
Yeah.
It's the, you know what? This could happen. Eh. We're going to run it. We're going to see what's going to happen.
Bump how it turn out.
Bump how it turn out. And thank God that we're alive to tell these stories where you can take the benefit of our experience, not having the experience. And maybe this inspires somebody to have a more open and honest conversation or relationship with their children or people that they have influence over that haven't had as much life, haven't made as many mistakes as you have. So
yes.
Don't keep that information to yourself.
Please, no.
Dear Mama, I'm sorry.
Yes, because listen, I got an old church song, man. But I had a praying grandmother. Because listen, I really feel like my whole life was covered by prayer warriors. Because I've made more than my share of decisions that could have ended in a way we would not prefer.
Yeah, we would have never met.
Yeah, correct.
I'm trying to think if I had anything since we met where we would have never. Health-wise, maybe, but not stupidity.
Yeah, I'm
not stupidity.
I'm moving a little smaller these days.
My stupidity, the extent of my stupidity is believing the Cowboys gonna make it to Super Bowl every year.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. There's y'all can do better than that. I have another one, but I kind of want to hold it because I feel like it can really branch. I don't know if we should introduce it or just hold it.
Now hold that. We
yeah, because we got a whole. Yeah. I got a whole another episode in my head.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we need it because you know, like I said, the volume. I'd already committed to the velocity.
Yes. Let's push.
We're getting these things out. What you got in closing, bro?
In closing, be smart. Think smart. Be aware of your circles and your decisions. And please, parents, please, I don't care how embarrassing you think a story or an experience is, please find a way to share it with your children because you don't know they could be 2 days away from that exact same mistake.
Yep. Yep. For me, let's see, finally got one here.
Yes, sir.
Love Keisha J. LoveKeishaJ.com is where you can find this book, her children's book. I'm holding it up for those that are listening. It's called Chocolate Princess Collection, Volume 1, Princess Mocha. Very high quality, great reviews for those that have purchased it and provided some feedback. It is available. It is a physical book that's available through LoveKeishaJ.com. LoveKeishaJStudios.com is where you can find all of her wearable art jewelry. I believe she has some clothing articles there as well. I don't have any physically right now to show you. Also, Dear Son, 20 Life Prompts to Facilitate Effective Parenting. My ebook is available. It'll be in a link in anywhere you're hearing this. So give that a go if you're ready to do some work. Even if you're not ready to do some work, get it. And it'll be there when you're ready to do some work. It is a thought-provoking, and I'm not saying it because I wrote it, but I'll say it because my thoughts were provoked. Which caused me to write it.
Yeah.
But it gives you different perspectives to consider based on certain experiences that I've had in life and some life prompts for you to take action with your children, take action for yourself, journal it, and have a kind of a guidebook or a chronicling of your ideas and your thoughts and your actions based on what the book requires you to do that I think is very, very helpful. With that, we appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Peace.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tontandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.